Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, July 1st. Dr. Stanley's Life Principles series continues today as we learn more about God's promise to provide.
I want to talk about this whole issue of the fact that God assumes full responsibility for meeting our needs when we obey Him. This is who God is. If somebody says, well, what kind of God do you serve? He is a God who is interested in our needs. He's a God who has the ability to meet our needs. And He's a God who fulfills His promise. That's who He is. And so with that in mind, I can rest assured that if I have a need, I know where to go. And I go where the one is who can meet that need. Now, somebody says, okay, I have needs in my life. And I believe what Paul says. Why am I not getting my needs met? We agree that God is capable of meeting the needs. We agree that He's a God of integrity, that He not only has the power to do it, but He fulfills what He promises. And all through the Scripture we see His fulfilled promises. Then why has He not met my needs? He says one of the reasons people don't get their needs met is because they walk in sin and disobedience to God, and therefore He doesn't do it. Those who walk blameless, uprightly, He says He will not withhold any good thing from us, whatever that might be. There's a second reason. That is, I must be willing to ask Him to meet my needs. And in Mark, the 11th chapter, and the 24th verse, which is an awesome verse, He says, therefore I say to you, watch this, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. All things that you ask. Now, He also says, for example, if you ask not, you have not. If I should ask you to think about what is the one thing you would like for God, the one need you would like for God to meet in your life right now, what would it be? If you know what it is, raise your hand. See? Most of you don't know what it would be. So when you pray, that was a little tricky, wasn't it? For example, if you just say, God, I just need you to bless me. Well, does God know what you mean by that? Yes, but you know what? He's waiting for you to tell Him. You have not because you ask not. He doesn't say, ask and something will happen. He says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. That is, I have to be specific about what I'm asking Him about. Because you see, if I'm just saying I want the Lord to bless me, well, what does that mean? Somebody says, well, I just want God to be good to me. Well, He's going to be good to you. That's not the issue. But I must ask Him specifically. Now, what? The reason is, if I ask specifically, then I can evaluate, is this a need or is this a desire? If I'm just upset with God because things are not going my way and I want Him to turn things around, turn what around? And it may be the reason people don't want to answer that question is because the answer would be turn me around and get right with God so God can bless me. But I don't have it because I don't ask Him. The Bible says, when you ask with the wrong motive, He says in James, He says, you ask with the wrong motive, you don't get it. You see, that's why being specific and being sure that it is a need or it is a need and a desire that is pleasing to God. Because God, we just said, this is who He is. This is what He desires to do. If it isn't happening, it's not His fault. It's something going on in us. Then a third thing is this. I must do my part. You say, well, what do you mean my part? What I want you to think about is this. God is not going to do anything for you that He's equipped you to do for yourself. For example, He's not going to put on your socks and shoes every morning. That's why He gave you feet and He gave you hands that you know how to do that. There are a lot of people who want somebody to wait on them. They want somebody to give them everything so they can sit and do nothing. Now, I cannot expect God to meet some need in my life that I can meet myself. For example, suppose I said now, well, I go home this afternoon and I think, well, Lord, thank you very much for the message this morning. And now, Lord, I just want to thank you for next week's message and I'll just go about my duties and just enjoy life this week and I'm going to just trust you to give me a message, God. I'm just waiting for the Spirit of God to work on me. And so when I walk out that Sunday morning, I know you'll let me have it then, right then. He'd let me have it, all right, but it wouldn't be in that way. God has a message, But I have a responsibility to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to pray, to cry out to God, whatever is necessary, in order to be prepared to do what He's called me to do. Well, He must give it, but He has a part and I have a part. And what He's talking about here is this. People who are lazy, they don't want to do their part. So I want you to turn over to Titus. Just go on past 1 and 2 Timothy to Titus and look at this third chapter in Titus. Because our part is very important. We want our needs met. The question is, God, what would you have me to do? Look at third chapter of Titus. He says in verse 14, he says, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. And so a person who doesn't work because they want to sit around and eat and get fat and do nothing and want somebody else to wait on them and to provide what they need, he says that's undisciplined. Don't expect God to answer your prayers because you're living in sin. Laziness, slothfulness is a sin against God. And so everybody who can work ought to work. Everybody who can work should work. Everybody who can work must work. Otherwise, it's to live an undisciplined life, and an undisciplined life is not pleasing to God whatsoever. So one of the reasons God doesn't answer some people's prayers, they're not doing their part. Well, I'm just waiting on God. Well, how long are you going to wait? Well, God's going to outwait you because if you get busy, it's not going to happen. That's a simple teaching of Scripture. And why we think that we can violate the simple principles of the Word of God and have a society where people are happy. People who are lazy and don't work are not happy. People who are lazy and don't work do not have any peace. They don't have any joy. They just sort of hanging around waiting for somebody to provide something for them and never know how it's going to be there. Well, I'm going to get a check or this, that, and the other. You need to check up on yourself. Go to work and do what God wants you to do. It's in the Word of God. A fourth thing is this, and a reason people don't get their needs met, is we must respect God's timing. If God is all wise, which He is, He says He knows our needs before we know them, before we even ask. He knows when the best time is for me to get that need met, whatever it might be. Now, sometimes, think about this. Watch this carefully. God has a reason. Listen, He has seasons and He has reasons for waiting to answer our petition. There are times in our life when we have a need that God desires to answer it. He's planned to answer it. He's settled that He's going to answer it. But I have to wait for His time because some things are the will of God, but they're not the will of God for me to have them right now. For God to give us His best sometimes, we have to wait a while. We can't get in a hurry. In other words, if I trust Him, I'm not going to be pressuring Him. Well, God, let's get with the plan. God knows what the plan is. He's got it all worked out, but He's waiting for us to get ready. And I can give testimony of this in so many ways. If you know it's the will of God and you have a clean desire in your heart and your motives, right, and He wants to provide something for you and He's agreed to do it, don't go rushing and getting ahead of Him. You know what? You'd be surprised what you'd miss in life that God wanted to provide, but you just, in a big hurry, you want to do it your way. People lose wonderful, wonderful gifts because they want it when they want it instead of respecting God's time. Put this verse down. Isaiah 64:4. He acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. But if I'm ahead of Him, I'm going to get it now. I got to have it now. Then what happens usually? We make a mistake in our choice. Things are not as they ought to be and the way He planned them to be. It ends up sometimes being costly and sometimes turns to ashes because you've messed it up by getting ahead of God, waiting for His timing. Is it His desire? Yes. His will? Yes. Has He planned it? Yes. But if you get ahead of Him, then you're on your own. And sometimes you can really foul up what God had in mind for you by being in too big a hurry. He acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. And so the reason sometimes He doesn't answer our petition is because we didn't wait for Him. And so then we got ourselves in a jam. And so now He can't give us what He wanted to because we positioned ourselves that He can't do it. And then, of course, I must be open to His channel. I must be open to the method, the means, or the channel through which He intends to meet my need. And so watch this. When we want something now, we get in trouble. And then when we decide how God ought to meet my need. In other words, now God, here's my need, and then here's what I want you to do. If I can't trust Him, an all-wise God, who says He knows my need perfectly even before I do, I must be willing to let Him meet that need when and how and through whom He chooses. And that's why you don't hear me saying very much about money, because the last thing I'm going to do is put anybody under pressure about money, because I know what it does and what it does to me. You put pressure on me about it, it closes my heart. And I want an open heart to give because I want to give, and I don't mind finding out. In fact, if I think I know something that somebody wants, if they're a friend of mine or somebody close enough, if I find that they want something, I can't wait to get it for them. It's got to be my idea. If they come ask me, well, have you thought about giving? No, I haven't. But if it's my idea and my timing, the time that I think is right, I couldn't do enough for them. And the same thing is true of God. Now, Lord, here's the need, and Father, it's 2:00, and by 4:00, I got to have it. No, Lord, I've got to have it your timing, and I've got to have it through whom and how you. If it's something you want me to do and me to buy it, I will buy it. If it's something you want someone to give me, if it's a friend, and sometimes God provides through people that we don't even know. And sometimes He provides through people who are our friends. Sometimes He provides through somebody who you thought was your enemy. And God uses them to meet some need in your life. God is an awesome, wonderful, loving Father. All He wants us to do is to get our thinking in line with His thinking, to ask Him on His schedule through the channel that He chooses. Then God is so free and so willing. Then, of course, this whole issue of keeping our focus right. This is what He meant in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you've been worried about, these needs you've had," which He says, "I knew before you knew," He says, "all these needs are going to be met." Now, what did He mean by that? Here's what He meant. When He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," He's just talking about needs. But He says, "Now seek ye first the kingdom of God." That is, make your focus not the need, but the Father. Seek ye first the kingdom, that is, the rule and reign of Christ in your life. That is, if my focus is on Him, if my focus is being a godly person, walking in a way that is upright and pleasing and honorable to Him, I'm not going to have to worry about my needs getting met. This is what He's saying. He says, when your focus is live a godly life, His focus for us is to walk upright, to be obedient to Him. And our focus is to be a spiritual focus. Then He says, when that's true, all these things on a lower level down here, material things, they're going to be met. But when your focus is all on the material and all the things that you think you need and all the things you desire in your life, here's what happens. He gets left out. And that's why we don't get our needs met. Focus is wrong. Because listen, the thing you focus on, that's all you can see. I got to have this. And that's what gets people in trouble. And that's why God doesn't answer their prayer. Because, listen, here's what happens. When you get in that position, you are now using God to meet a need. He's not into that. We're to love Him. Let Him meet the need. If I want to use Him to meet my needs, I'm out of focus. Something's wrong. It's not going to happen. He's not going to meet that need. Well, then the last point I would say that's so important, and the reason people don't get their needs met is because they don't trust Him. It's just that simple. Mark chapter 11, and I want to read this the way it says it and not the way oftentimes people read it. The 11th chapter, I want you to turn to that. I'll give you time to turn to the 24th verse. Listen to what He says. He's been talking about them trusting Him. And then He says in the 24th verse, Mark 11, "Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you..." What does that say? What's that say? Is that present tense or past tense? Believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Here's what we're talking about, perfect faith. I don't mean you got to be perfect. I mean this, simply this. If I ask him and I really and truly believe that he's heard me and that at the right time it's going to show up, then what? Then I can walk in the assurance that I have it, that between God and myself, it's a done deal. He said, ask, I've asked. Focus is on him, not the thing. I'm trusting him. You say, well, you still don't have it. It's his timing. And what gets us in trouble is this. We don't get it when we want it, we stop believing it. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I trusted God. I believed him. I waited on him 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month. I still don't have it. So you still pray? No, I forgot. It must not be his will. That's not the way he operates. He says, you trust me. You ask according to my will. You ask me something that I want to do for you, that I desire to do for you. You ask me, believe that I've heard you, then walk in the assurance that it's a done deal. There's no other way to interpret that verse of Scripture. Now, he says in Matthew, also, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. That's right. But there comes a time in our asking and our faith level, when our faith level gets down, the lowest level is, I know he could. That's where most people are. That's where they live. I believe he will. But the faith we're talking about is, it's a done deal. I've asked him. He said, yes, I'm living in it. So then what do? We obey him and watch him work. We're going to watch him work. Let him do the choosing of the channel. Let him do the choosing of the time, but it's a done deal. Amen? Now think about this. When you are committed to being obedient to him, here's what he says. He will not withhold anything that is his will from your life. So why don't we have our needs met? Can't look at him. We have to look on the inside and say, God, just straighten me out. Just show me what's going on inside of me, because here's a need in my life and I want it met. Okay, I have to admit, Lord, I'm impatient. I want it now. And so listen, go ahead and tell him, I'm impatient. God, I want it now. I don't understand it. I'm frustrated about it. I'm anxious about it. I don't like it when somebody asks me, well, where is it you've been praying? God hasn't answered your prayer. Then I feel embarrassed. God, I just want to lay it down. I just want to lay it down and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting me. I'm trusting you to be who you said you would be. Now I'm going to watch you work. That's why he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? He's got that under control. Now think about this. Think about what a strong testimony your life is when you have a need in your life and you pray and you ask God to meet that need and you're confident he is, and one of your friends says to you, well, what happened? You say, oh, nothing. Not what happened, but what's happening? Well, what's happening? Well, God's at work. Well, you don't have it yet. Well, God's working. You know what? It'll stir them, because they'll think, now, wait a minute. When he says God is working and he doesn't have it, how can he say God is working? Because you and I know he's working. Let me ask you this. At what point in your life is he not working? At what point in your life has he just gone to sleep and he's not working? He's working continuously. We don't listen to him as we should. We don't see his work. We don't obey him. In other words, God is at work every single moment in your life and my life. And you know what he's got his mind on? Not if you're going to get this or that. What he's got his mind on is making you like his son. He says he predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And all these, listen, we over here worried about this and that and getting this and fulfilling this and meeting this need. And God, listen, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about making you like his son. God has the best for his children. But we have to do it his way. So Paul said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory on the basis of your relationship to him, not only as being a believer, but walking uprightly, obediently before him.
Thank you for listening to part two of His Promise to Provide. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.